Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lob podcast with These Football Times. My name is Stuart Horsfield, and I say this quite often that we've got either a special edition or an extra special guest or a one-off show, but I think this is probably the ultimate one-off show. It'll all become clear as we go through the podcast. But somebody, usually Stephen and Gary, write a really nice introduction just for me to read out to sound really articulate. That I know exactly what every episode's about. But I suppose I should probably come clean here and say that I have script writers for the podcast. Just putting that out there. I actually have someone who writes my script for me. But for this one, there wasn't really a script. Which is pretty much how the story goes as well. The story was unscripted that we're going to chat about. So I think it's probably best that the intro is also unscripted. However, I do need to introduce the two co-hosts as always, and obviously it'll come as no surprise, as I've already mentioned them. First of all, Stephen, welcome.
Oh, how are we doing, Stu? Looking forward to this one.
I'm not quite sure what category we put this in.
I think it's got Catherine with completely of its own. This is the kind of like the freewheeling, you know, maverick of the 1970s. It's a little bit of a dip of the shoulder. Send three defenders one way and go the opposite way, and you know, laying the left back to score the winning goal.
I think this has got long hair and sideburns written all over it, this episode.
Oh, definitely. You know, this if you could call this podcast by name, it would be, I don't know, like a Stan or a Robin or it's a Frank. It's definitely shirt out of the shorts, you know, socks around the ankles, and all of that. It's going to be excellent.
Brilliant. And second, obviously, co-host, Mr. Gary Thacker. Gary, welcome.
How you doing, buddy? And I've got absolutely nothing to add to that. I mean, you know, Steve is the master wordsmith, and by God, that's a classic introduction. So I'm happy to go with that, guys.
You see, that's why I don't write this. That's why I don't write the scripts. I just wait for them to arrive on my phone a good 3 or 4 hours beforehand and make sure
that blind panic when it hasn't arrived about 15 minutes before the podcast.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
This is a sort of a podcast that, you know, as you mentioned, as we've done in the past, and it's something that I hope all the listeners will find interesting and fascinating, as inspiring as, you know, as I think the three of us have.
Yeah, and I think that's probably you hit the nail right on the head there, Gary. I think this is hopefully an episode that will, I suppose, serve as inspiration, but also, I suppose, a sense of realism's the wrong word. Relatable. There we go. Relatable. I'm hoping that, you know, people will listen to this any age at all, and will find this sort of story relatable and something that can be aspired to as well, I think. Would you fair to say, Gary?
I absolutely agree with that, mate. Yes. 100%, mate. 100%.
Okay, so we'll get started. Before we introduce our special guest, just a little bit of backstory, I guess, because essentially we're going to be chatting to a young guy who's just sort of making his way in the world of football writing, and his sort of introduction, should we say, to the world of football writing, whether fortuitously or not, came courtesy of the three of us. Obviously, whether that's a curse or not, we'll wait till we hear from him. But essentially, March of 2020, if you all care to sort of remember that far back without shuddering, and just before the world was shut down, Kerry, my wife, approached, well, I say approached me. She sort of said, I'm thinking of doing this, and you're the sort of person to do it. What do you think? But it was one of those, you know, you've all heard one of those leading what do you think questions, because you already know the answer's already been decided for you. She works for the Prince's Trust, which I'm sure most people are aware of the Prince's Trust, but essentially it's a charity that is there to give young people a chance, give young people opportunities, young people the sort of the break perhaps that they need either into business or with an idea. And they run a variety of programs. And one of the programs is a Get Started program. And like I say, one night over the dinner table, Kerry said, I've had an idea. I'd like to do a Get Started into football journalism. I was like, brilliant. Somebody would love that. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who would be happy to help on that. She went, yeah. I'm looking at him. I was like, okay, yeah, okay. I'm more than happy to help with that. So then she said, do you know of anyone who would help you, like your two podcast co-hosts? I was like, yes, I'm sure they would love to help. I'll tell them that they're also involved. I'll ask them, but knowing full well that like me, there was no escape. So spoke to Gary and Stephen briefly about the idea, spoke to Omar, obviously he was our editor of these Football Times, asked him for his opinion, what he thought. As always, you know, he was fantastic, very supportive, anything that he could do to help. And so the Get Started programme was essentially 7 days, an introduction to football journalism. It was put together by Stephen, Gary and myself. And then it was put out to the young people nationally, which obviously made me balk a little bit at the scale of it. But it was put out nationally for young people to apply for a place on the programme that we had actually no idea of what it would look like. But essentially, Kerry still advertised the programme without actually being fully aware of what the content would be. But I guess, Gary, I'll come to you first, because I think you were the first out of the two that I contacted, purely based on alphabetical order in my email. But yeah, Gary, it was one of those where, I'm going to be honest, if I'm in it, I'm taking other people with me. It was one of those where I didn't want to be on my own. I needed my friends around me. And obviously, you know, at that point, you know, you and Stephen had both written books. You know, you'd both been writing for a lot longer than I had. And it was just a question of approaching you two guys with the idea and obviously giving you the option. But you had about as much option as I did, Gary, I think.
That might well be true, mighty, but you know, when you sort of put the idea to me first, and it was to Stevie as well, I thought, yeah, well, why not? You know, if you can help somebody, you know, and I'm sure Stevie and you don't sort of pretend to be experts in anything, but you know, if we can sort of give a bit of encouragement to people and sort of, you know, a bit of guidance and encouragement and assistance, perhaps, then, you know, why not? You know, we spare a few hours of our time to offer some help, then, yeah, I was delighted to do it, you know, and it was a really fulfilling, I mean, it sounds a bit trite to say it, a little bit, you know, almost a little bit sort of patronising, but, you know, it was fulfilling. I really enjoyed it, and I think I got a lot out of it. I hope the guys on the other end did as well.
It was, and I guess, you know, as well, coming to you, Stephen, you know, Gary's hit the nail right on the head there when, you know, it was an introduction to football journalism. And yes, you know, we'd written for these Football Times and, you know, and other publications. Obviously, you and Gary at that point were published authors. But again, it's that little bit of unease almost, all of a sudden the responsibility of something that we probably fell into by accident. We then were suddenly asked to guide and sort of mentor young people who were getting involved or who would like to get involved with it.
Yeah, from my perspective at least, it was kind of like, yeah, when the word expertise was used, it was quite a culture shock. And yeah, the fact that, you know, yeah, if you want to learn on how to do it the kind of like the wrong way, probably, or just the bespoke way, maybe, you know, it's certainly not textbook, put it that way. You know, I can certainly tell you how to do it differently.
So yeah, the three of us knew exactly how to do it differently, which was fine and actually worked out very well. So I think we ended up with, I think, 9 or 10 people started on the programme. And then obviously I'm delighted to say, because obviously we'll let our guests sort of take up the story here. That was more just setting the scene of essentially how I was roped in. I then roped Gary and Stephen in, and then the rest, as we say, is sort of history in and amongst the global pandemic and everything else that last year threw at us. But our special guest is Mr. Alex Roberts, who was on the programme with us. Started, like I say, way back in June in 2020. Gary has been his mentor since the programme finished. And sort of Alex, you know, is the guy whose story we would like to tell, like to chat about, like to talk through tonight. So, Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, fellas. Good to see you all.
It's funny, when we first came on and you asked how it was going, and it was like, well, nothing's changed, really. It's like, this is exactly the situation we were in last June when we last spoke.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's awful. I hate it.
We did, obviously, we'd finished and we had a sort of a celebration event, and we normally the Prince's Trust have a celebration event where people go to a venue and there's, you know, someone does a couple of speeches and blah, blah, blah. But obviously we couldn't do that because by the time this had finished, we were in lockdown. So it was, we sort of recorded, I guess, one of these and then turned it into a mini podcast that the Prince's Trust used. And, you know, Gary and Stephen was on it, Kerry was on it, a couple of the managers from the Prince's Trust were on it. And it's quite incredible that, where are we now? Eight months later, here you are, a guest in your own right, on the These Football Times podcast.
Yeah, it's been pretty whirlwind, to be honest. It's been a bit surreal. I never thought I'd be a special guest.
Everyone's a special guest who comes on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure to say that then.
Oh, no, it's meant as a compliment. Don't worry. Yeah, it's meant as a compliment. So our guest then, Alex, first question then, I suppose sort of before I sort of roped Stephen and Gary in, what was your situation? What was your interest in, you know, had you always had an interest in football writing, always had an interest in football? You know, how did you sort of get involved in this programme?
I've always had a massive interest in football, like a ridiculous obsession. And writing is something that's always come pretty naturally to me. Not to, you know, sound a bit cocky, but I've, you know, it just kind of has been. Last June, I was back home with my mum because I got stuck there a lot longer than I thought I would be because of COVID, obviously. I was one of the lucky ones in the sense that I was put on furlough, which was obviously, you know, a huge help. And I was kind of started really beating myself up about not being as productive as I should be. I think with, you know, there'll be thousands and thousands of people that were in the exact same boat. I hadn't started baking any bread. I hadn't taken up yoga, even though I do kind of wish I had done that one. So when I saw this, I saw this little course as an opportunity to get out of a bit of a slump more than anything, I think, because I was just lying around playing far too much Football Manager and eating rubbish.
So, like you said, you know, writing comes naturally to you, and, you know, and some people are great with words. You only have to listen to Stephen's introduction. Some people just have a way with words. And I guess, you know, if you can marry those two up, you know, if you can marry up the ability to use words with something that you love, then, you know, I guess you're onto a winner, which is, I'm assuming, is certainly why Stephen and Gary and I are all sort of here and how we got involved in it. Was football journalism something that had always sat in the back of your mind, or was it something that seemed, I don't know, speaking from my own experience, it was always one of those things that was a bit far away and that other people did, I think.
I remember my dad used to have one of those huge old PCs, you know, like the old grey ones that if you threw it at someone, you'd probably kill them. I remember I must have been about 11 years old and I wrote a piece, in quotation marks, to piece. About why Ashley Cole was right to leave Arsenal for Chelsea, which he was completely right to do. And kind of since then, it's always been in the back of my head that this would be something I would love to do and something that I think I could do pretty well in. But, you know, life happens. You know, I've been working 60-hour weeks since I was like 20. And it was only in the past maybe two and a half years that I kind of started seriously considering it as a viable career option.
I'm going to come to you first, Stephen. And I guess we all wish we could be 20 again, don't we? And if we all had our time again, we would all do things ever so differently. Like I said, you know, and we talked about this when we were on the programme to the young people who were on it about how sort of we all got involved, you know, in football writing. And sometimes it is, you just need that little bit of luck or that little break or just somebody to give you that chance and that opportunity.
You do. You know, you can have all the talents in the world, but if you're not in the right place at the right time or you've got the right help, you know, the encouragement, you know, just advice even, you know, a soundboard. It's simply, you know, just someone that you can bounce an idea off or whatever it is, or someone to encourage you to say, no, you're good at this and, you know, this is what you can do. or, you know, I think simply just someone being able to share their experience. You know, I think, you know, I'd have been, you know, writing a lot longer ago had I, you know, stumbled across something of that ilk. You know, for me, you know, it was a case of fanzine writing, stepped away from it all for a good few years and then, you know, went back again, you know, as Stuart alluded earlier on about having a wife who makes a decision for you. You know, mine did the same thing with the football writing. She dug out the old fanzines and said, you should doing this again, and push me into doing it again. And you know, it can take just something as simple as that. You know, it can be, you know, the gentlest of pushes, a deflection here, you know, a chat in the right direction there, and you know, suddenly something that, I don't know, you could describe as being a bit of an itch, or you know, something that feels like it's calling you, you know, answer it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll come to you next, Gary, as well. And you know, I suppose the similar sort of thing applies. But, you know, listening to Alex, you know, and obviously I can speak from my own perspective. You know, mine, you know, Stephen's mentioned there that he was sort of given a gentle nudge. Mine was, I'd left work and had sort of gone to do a master's, and I wasn't really working at all. I was just doing that. And I got it, and I found the Football Times website while I was doing my research, found that there was two articles going up a day. So that became my routine. It was read those two, then start my assignment work. And then the next day I'd wake up, read the next two. And then eventually got to the stage where I thought, oh, I wonder if, and you know, and sort of sent a pitch off to Omar, and I sent that couple of ideas off, and he was like, yep, send something through. And I sent the first, and he never replied. And I was like, oh, I'll just check that he got it, you know, just in case. I emailed him back. He's like, no, didn't receive it, really sorry, send again. So I did. And the next thing was like, yeah, love it. And it was on the site. And it's those fine margins, you know, if I just decided, oh, he didn't like it, that's it. You know, I wouldn't have done a ton of things that I've done. I wouldn't obviously have you two guys as my friends. You know, that so many things are just on such fine, fine margins. You know, and there must be, you know, hundreds, thousands of young people in this country, around the world, who would love to do this and just need that little bit of luck, really, and that little bit of an opportunity, should we say.
Definitely, yeah. A wise man, John Lennon, once wrote a song, the words containing was, life's what happens to you while you're busy making other plans, and time drifts away and you don't know, and you don't never take a chance to follow your dream. And you know, if I could go back to, you know, people say, if you could go back to your younger self, what would you say? I'd say, start writing your 20s instead of waiting until your bloody 50s, you fool. And which is what I did. I mean, I never started. I mean, I sort of drifted into writing because I used to do it as part of the running a creative design agency and a marketing agency. I used to write slogans and bits for that sort of thing. And I was lucky, and you know, I think, you know, Steve and yourself, Stu, would both agree. I was lucky to come across a wonderful guy called Jim Hart, late departed friend, who I don't even really came across some of my writing that I'd done, and he suggested coming and get in touch with Omar and these Football Times. And you know, he was the guy. You know, as Stephen mentioned, you just see the spark. He was my spark, and a Chelsea fan as well. God rest his soul. And he was the guy who gave me that spark. And I think, you know, perhaps that was in my mind when you spoke originally about, you know, coming on board of the Prince's Trust course. That, you know, I had somebody who gave me that lift, that drive, that helping hand. So, you know, it's like a passing on the baton, isn't it? You know, sometimes, you know, you think, you know, you need to do that thing. So, yeah, I mean, having that lucky break, that guy that helps you, is so important.
It's funny because obviously, like I say, I mean, you know, joking at the start, and I say it's a joke. And, you know, it's not really a joke. Kerry did actually make me do it. But it was one of those where as soon as we got started, it was like, oh my God, this is so good. You know, and we did sort of one and two, we did two half days a week, didn't we, over 4 weeks. And each session went on for longer than it was supposed to go on. And each time we did it and met to do it, I was like, oh, this is so good. I'm so pleased we've done this. With you, Alex, obviously, you know, you're sort of coming at it. Obviously, Stephen, Gary and I were coming at it from, what are we going to put in it? What can we bring to it? How are we going to structure it? How are we going to do it? But obviously, you were coming at it from the other side as a young person looking for an opportunity. Did you have any sort of preconceived ideas as to what to expect? Was there anything that you definitely wanted to get out of it before you started the program?
I didn't have any kind of ideas about it. It was something that I'd never really done before. I just kind of was hoping for the best, I suppose. I think the thing that I was looking for, looking to get out of it the most, was just a bit of accountability. I'm someone who needs a bit of a kick every now and again. So having people there that gonna make sure that I do things and tell me that I'm doing them well, and tell me that, you know, you're all right at this, you should keep it going, was by far the biggest thing for me to get out of that.
Did, and again, you know, like I say, it's interesting because obviously we were sort of coming at it, you know, the three of us from the same sort of point of view, same perspective. Was it intimidating? Is the wrong word, because I don't think that for a minute. However, I know that if I was a young, and there were young people who were on it, I know that if I was a young person faced with three, I'm going to call us more mature gents, is what I'm going to call us, guys. Obviously, we're just a bit getting on, but. More mature, just, I know that I would have felt, oh my God, what are they going to think of me? What about this? Am I good enough to be here? Which obviously is wrong. But in terms of yourself, you know, how did it feel sort of that first day, that first session?
I was so excited. I remember I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and I couldn't quite imagine how well it could have gone. I definitely wasn't intimidated about it. I mean, I've been working in bars in Yorkshire for the past few years. There's pretty intimidating lads in there. So this was just a bit of a free hit for me, really. I just kind of went into it with a "you've got absolutely nothing to lose" kind of attitude.
And I suppose, and you know, Stephen, like I say, we made it up as we went along. We didn't, you know, we sort of split it down into what we do. So we had, you know, sort of writing for online websites, writing for the magazine, podcast, how to structure an interview. And then, you know, we sort of finished with the bigger project of a book, but not obviously with the expectations that these guys were going to turn around and write a book, but just really, you know, I suppose like we've alluded to right from the beginning, and something that we tried to do with on the course is just that nothing is out of reach, you know, and that book, you know, for Alex, let's say, might be 10, 15 years down the line, but it was about making them see that all of these different avenues, writing for an online presence, writing for a print magazine, doing a podcast and interviewing people, or like we say, you know, the bigger project, the book, the subject that you love more than anything. It was more about letting people see that those things are attainable and achievable for everybody.
Yeah. It was all about saying, well, look, you know, it's impossible, there's nothing, you know, that you can do these things, you know, that if we can, you know, you can, you know, we all started from a standing start, and you know, we've managed to do some stuff. But what we were looking to do was just to remove some of the, I don't know, the mental hurdles that people might put up, you know, to say, you know, to take away the reasons why you might convince yourself that you can't do it, or that you're not allowed. You know, you are allowed and you can do it. You know, if you've got the talent for it, you've got the desire and the passion for it, then, you know, anyone can do what we do. They really can. And I think it was just a case of putting that message out there, you know, more than anything else, and saying, look, you know, these, you know, we have a ball doing these things. You know, we're absolutely amazed that people want to talk to us, absolutely amazed that people want to print my books. You know, is it still, we'll never be anything other than amazed by it all, you know, and within that, you know, it's giving that, you know, that push start for people. You know, if someone comes along and you know, it's that theme of I don't know, something that's familiar, you know, so you're looking at some of these kids and they're coming out with stuff that you think, oh, I fully recognize where they're coming from, you know, I taught myself out of this for so long, but you know, it can be done, you know, and that's the thing, it can make such a difference, just one conversation, just one, you know, acknowledgement of a person, you know, or whatever it is. And you know, I know on social media people approach and ask opinions and stuff like that. And, you know, how can you do this? And how do you do that? Or whatever it is. And I'll always give an answer. And this was like a bigger version of that. You know, to be able to sit there for the best part of a few weeks, you know, every day virtually, and to see these projects and ideas gain ground, to gain purchase, was really, really excellent. And you know, there were others beyond Alex as well that did the same. And you know, some came in, and I think it was putting the explanations behind it as well, as saying, well, you know, there's more to football writing than you know, 11 players against 11 kicking a ball either end of the pitch. You know, there's all sorts of tangents that you can go down, and you know, nothing's off bounds. And I think it's just broadening that horizon and saying you can reach it.
You know, Stephen comes up with a great point there, Gary. you know, we had, like I say, I think there was sort of 9 or 10 young people on the course. And what we tried to do was get them to develop an idea that, you know, could be done for online, it could then maybe, you know, go into a magazine, could make a good magazine article, could then be a conversation or a subject for a podcast, or, you know, could form the sort of the genesis of a book. And, you know, and Stephen's right, you know, everybody came at it with different ideas, different tangents, different angles. And it kind of goes to show that, not saying that everybody's got it in them, but certainly anybody who has a passion for football and a passion for sort of voicing their thoughts, their opinions, it doesn't matter how, what medium they use to do that, but anybody who has a passion for it, it really does come out in their work.
Yeah, I, we also went into this, and Kerry arranged, you could like arrange for to the people to send sort of a couple of paragraphs of what they thought, and I wasn't sure what to expect, but I was absolutely you know, amazed at the, not only the quality, but the quality of thought, the sort of effort they put into what they what they wrote. That, you know, it was, it, I know, it was A, impressive, B, inspiring, you know, that they, there's so much talent out there in the world that so often doesn't get a chance to get developed. And, you know, if the three of us have sort of in any way contributed to giving, you know, people a push in the right direction, you know, it's a massive thing to feel like you've contributed something.
It's, I mean, you know, sort of coming to you, Alex, obviously, like I say, we tried to develop this theme, and I know, you know, you sort of, it came across quite early that you had an interest in politics, you know, and you were quite happy to align your interest with politics and football, which, again, people who listen to this will know that Gary is the absolute ideal person to sort of have in your corner on that side. But did you sort of notice a change, or notice a difference, or maybe even just see a shift in your sort of thought process by the end of the program, you know, with regards to writing about football, the opportunities that were there, you know, how to go about it, that sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, for the course, I wrote a piece about the Toryness, the Tories and their willingness to scapegoat working class and BAME footballers during the pandemic, and I loved it. That's still by far my favourite piece that I've written so far. I mean, because I just get to Tory bash for about 2 pages. But I also I've started to really enjoy writing about more obscure things. I've written a piece about the LA Aztecs, which I thought was really neat. I've just finished a piece about Shakhtar Donetsk. So yeah, I mean, I came into it maybe thinking a bit high of myself, in the sense that I was sure that people would want to hear my opinions about all this stuff. When of course they're not going to want to hear my opinions. I'm just some bloke that lives in London. I think learning to go for more interesting stories before I start yelling at people on the street is a better option.
It depends what you're yelling, but yeah, you're probably right, to be fair. I suppose, interestingly then, in terms of that, have you, I don't want to say broaden your horizon, I don't mean that, but I just mean, have you found yourself considering stories, articles, you know, maybe things that you never would have considered writing about beforehand?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of wanted to stay away from match reports and stuff like that, because I think they're pretty dull. But I quite like to, I'm a very sarcastic person, and I quite like to write quite sarcastically, as I'm sure Gary can attest.
Gary's nodding away there, yeah.
So if I can write about something that I would maybe consider a bit dull, but do it in a funny kind of weird way, then I'll do that every day long. I'd love to do it.
That's okay. And I mean, obviously, what, you know, once the program finished, you know, each of the young people were then offered, you know, the opportunity for a mentor, somebody to sort of help them, stay in touch with them, motivate, guide, and like we said, like the guy said before, be a sounding board, you know, as these things progress. Because obviously, you know, what the Prince's Trust didn't want to do is just run this program for a few weeks, and then from there, you know, the people have no contact anymore, and it's, you know, go find your way. So, you know, the mentor idea is there to sort of, you know, so the young people can still feel supported when the program's finished, still have someone, a contact for advice. And obviously, Gary, you know, you opted to be Alex's mentor.
Yeah, it was interesting that, you know, it was after one of the sessions that you said, guys, don't just speak because Kerry wants to ask you a question.
She does that. I'm really sorry.
No,
sorry.
And yeah, so, you know, when you said about this mentorship, you know, I thought, yeah, okay, I quite like the idea. And, you know, and a couple of things, you know, thought my mind sort of twigged me to sort of say, you know, I'd like to work with Alex. There was even in the short piece that he wrote, there was clearly a latent talent there. And B, he was wearing a Chelsea shirt. So, I mean, you know, what can I say? but yeah, so we sort of, I went through the training program with Prince's Trust and got all the checks and all this sort of thing. And away we went. And I guess, you know, I've spent probably the last 35 years of my working career managing people, and it was difficult to stop managing and sort of mentoring, which is it's an entirely different thing, because here's a guy who I didn't know at all really before the Prince's Trust thing, and you know, it's a matter of not of telling people and organising people, but almost guiding, pointing, suggesting, questioning the way they do things. And, you know, as I say, Alex is writing, you know, to me, I'm no expert, you know, as much as yourself and Stevie. You know, we're all sort of, you know, as Steve used the term, we're all accidental authors. We all sort of fell into it one way or another. But, you know, his writing, it was intriguing, is interesting, which is the best thing in the world, because the worst thing in the world is to be boring when you write things. And one thing Alex writing isn't in any way, shape or form, is boring. And it was an opportunity to sort of work with somebody who could see, you know, if I could help this guy to develop his talent, then, you know, it was a massively worthwhile thing. And, you know, we weren't sort of spawning us to the end of the story, you know. I mean, you know, we'll come to it as we go along, I'm sure. It's a massively fulfilling thing to help somebody who's has an ability for him to show it and develop it. And, you know, I say, it's easy if people say, well, you know, okay, challenge and business, challenge. You don't do that. You really don't. And, you know, I hope Alex will agree. You know, when we're sort of going through the mentoring thing, when we talk about his work, you know, I say, well, have a look at this. Is another way of saying that. What do you think about this? And the worst thing in the world we do is don't say that, say this, because, you know, Alex writing that. And we have this phrase that, and I want to say this, and it'll make Alex laugh, because we laugh about it all the time. His style is very different to mine. And so I kept saying to him, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. which, you know, as it proves to be the case, is, you know, is wholly true as well. But yeah, it's an opportunity to help somebody along. It's a fantastic thing to do.
And I guess that's it, Stephen, isn't it? You know, we said at the beginning of this, you know, sometimes people just need either somebody to believe in. Like, say, you know, we had, you know, Gary's mentioned Jim, you know, Omar. Obviously, I have had you two guys, you know, sort of writing a book. Everybody needs somebody, don't they? You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing or how proficient you might actually be. Quite quickly, people always need just that somebody in their corner, just to, like you say, bounce ideas off, help them, you know. And even if it is, like Gary's just said there, even if it's more just reassurance, it's not telling you what to do, it's just about reassuring that what you are doing is correct, or maybe making you see things from a different perspective, not telling you to change it, but just, you know, have your thought about it from this point of view. And it's, you know, it's really important that people are starting out in any walk of life, I guess, you know, have those people on their side.
Completely. You know, it is, you know, pretty vital, really. As I said, it was never a case of telling people how to write. You know, it was about sharing experiences and, you know, maybe helping, I don't know, kind of like open eyes a bit more, maybe, you know, if you know, there's two or three ways to look at something, you know, root out the five or six, you know, there'll be more different, you know, come, you know, argue with yourself, you know, give the reader, you know, the opportunity to disagree with you, but, you know, maybe, you know, hang something in there that convinces the reader that you actually know you're right all along. You know, there are ways and means, you know. I think this is something that we'd always said, that there was, you know, certain ways to put your stories across and to convince people. You know, you can either preach at people or you can try and convert people almost. You know, it's that type of, you know, it's all of those type of scenarios that we came up with and say, look, we're never going to tell you how to write, but we're going to tell you how to try and or give our examples of how we try to look at things in a as broad a spectrum as possible. And anyway, it's just helping people grow and develop. I think that's the big thing. And yes, you know, we've all needed those people. You know, Gary speaks to Jim, and yeah, you know, I was lucky enough to meet Jim and be part of Jim's sphere, and you know, that was massive. You know, he was a huge influence. You know, his enthusiasm was the big thing. You know, I think that was one of the biggest things. Never met a more enthusiastic fella. You know, he always used to say that he couldn't write when he could write, but you know, he loved all his writers, and that was the thing about Jim. And he'd give you the, you know, the confidence basically to say, well, yeah, why not? You know, why not pitch that book or whatever it is? You know, this is something you can do. Of course, you can do it. You know, get it done. And it just takes, I don't know, to have that type of ally on your side to be able to, you know, I don't know, clear the path a little bit.
I mean, I suppose, Alex, you know, I'm gonna we've done a pod, Gary and I and Steve and I did a podcast last weekend. About a book about Liverpool, and we sort of got onto the subject of the boot room, and I'm kind of going to ask to go into the inner sanctum that you and Gary have on your mentor meetings, and I guess, you know, in terms of, you know, how it works, you know, what you two guys have done, how how the sort of mentor part of it sort of work, you know, how have you two made it work for you?
I mean, it's mainly Gary telling me that I swear in the pieces, which is obviously completely fair enough, but you know, one day I'm going to get a swear word in there that you won't notice.
He'll notice.
Yeah, I know he will. No, he's been a huge help grammatically more than anything, because my grammar's pretty terrible generally, and he just helps me see things in a he's polished me, basically. He's helped me see more professional light, which is something that I definitely need, because I know that I can be a bit of a rough diamond at the best of times. So that's definitely been the main thing that Gary's done for me, other than be such a lovely bloke.
I mean, it's funny because obviously I guess you're both Chelsea fans, so I'm just wondering how much of your mentor meetings are taken up about the blue half of London. Which bit is mentoring?
Well, we always, you know, ask each other which one we would start. Do we want to start talking about Chelsea? Do we want to start talking about the actual mentoring? It got quite depressing for the Chelsea started. So we've not done it for a while, but I'm sure we'll get back into it when we start winning again.
I suppose I'll ask you, Gary. You know, is the mentoring still going on? I mean, you know, we'll come, you know, shortly to Alex and, you know, what he's achieved since the program's finished, you know, and those sorts of things. But is it, you know, is it something that still goes on, or is, you know, is Alex now, you know, so one of our circle, you know, our circle's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger every time we do these podcasts. You know, has the relationship sort of changed over time, I guess, is probably what I'm asking.
Yeah, I guess so. The sort of official Prince's Trust mentorship is a 6-month thing which finished in December of last year. And I wasn't sure what the protocol was. You know, is it okay to keep talking to people afterwards because of all the sorts of, you know, safeguarding issues and that sort of thing. So I spoke to Kerry about this, because, yeah, a lot of people, mentors, sort of continue with their mentee conversation. And Alex and I, we sort of speak most Wednesdays, not every Wednesday, but most Wednesdays in the week, a sort of fairly regular chat, and, you know, we sort of moan and occasionally celebrate about Chelsea first, and then we'll sort of discuss the Brighton. So, yeah, I think it has sort of changed and developed, and, you know, I mean, you know, it inevitably changed because the way, I mean, you know, I say to this to Alex quite often, you know, you look at, read something you wrote in June last year, some of you right now, like, chalking cheese, kid. I mean, the quality was always there, and it's almost the execution that's the difference. The ideas and the way you sort of the ideas and the way you sort of thinks about projecting them is has always been there as a quality, and it's one of the things, first thing that's sort of attracted me to, you know, to working with Alex. But his execution of that is so much more polished. Polished is a word Alex used, and I think, you know, that's true, and it has developed, and, you know, we sort of, there's less sort of, you know, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, the less sort of me sort of say, well, what about thinking about this, could you think about this a different way, is a different way of saying this, I don't need to do that very much now, I don't feel that I should do that anymore, and we sort of know how this sort of story finished, and when I'm comment on a couple of passages in one of the things articles that I wrote, because I just think they're just brilliant. So, yeah, I mean, massively changed, developed in a really, and I think perhaps the difference, as Nick says, it's polished now. He was perhaps describing himself as a rough diamond, but he's a polished diamond now.
And I guess now then, Alex, what the sort of context that we have to remember here is, like we say, we all, we met you in June. We'd never met you before. It was, it was a course that had never been run by the Prince's Trust before. It was an idea over around a tea table. It was, and yet, the four of us are now sat here recording this. In terms of what you've sort of produced so far, obviously, you've mentioned a couple of pieces already, but since the course has finished, what have you, I don't mean gone on to do that, that sounds quite grand, but we've got to bear in mind that this is, a young person who came onto a program with just a love of writing and that's it, and an interest. And if you think it's only been, where are we, sort of 6-8 months really, since the program finished, but what have you done, sort of in those intervening months so far?
I've had a few pieces published on various blogs. I've written a piece about Liverpool that I'm sure Steve would hate. He would really hate it. One about Chelsea's 4-2 win against Barcelona. I'm currently working on one of Graham Souness, Galatasaray, which is going to be very funny. And I know Gary's going to say it's not necessarily a bad thing about 40 times. just stuff like that, and life also does get in the way at some points. Unfortunately, I can't dedicate all my time to writing. Sorry. Oh yeah, and I do have a website as well, but it's not fully good yet.
you're on mute, Steve. Still, you're on mute.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, we were sort of chatting about this before we started, Alex, and we sort of were chatting about the website, and you said it's just not quite ready yet. But in terms of having a site, with your work on it, how does that make you feel?
It's a huge ego boost. it's super. It just makes you feel a bit professional. It makes me think, oh bloody hell, I've got a website. That's a bit weird. It's pretty cool. I can tell. Send people the link to my website. I'm gonna get business cards next.
obviously, you mentioned, I think it was, did you say that it was the LA Aztecs, wasn't it, that you'd put a piece that has actually been published online?
Yeah.
And which site did that go on?
Yeah. So that was on Footy Analyst. It was one that Gary recommended. That piece was just a lot of fun to write, because, I got to watch a lot of really terrible 1970s American soccer, which I just thought was the most fun. I'm also going to be studying, I'm going to be doing my NCTJ in August, which is a huge deal. So hopefully, this time next year, you'll be talking to a fully fledged sports journalist, and everything's going well.
You need to be careful. Just you wait till Kerry gets hold of your phone number. You want to be careful chatting about qualifications like that and getting roped in. You'll be like Gary. You'll be a mentor for a young person in about 18 months' time. So your journalist course then. So what does that entail, Alex?
It's basically fitting, like a 3-year university course into about a year. I'll be learning everything from shorthand to, just general mingling and networking, which is something I'm not particularly good at, but I'm sure when it comes to it, I can pull something out. I'm incredibly excited for that. It'll be nice to have a proper qualification for the first time since I did my A-levels. And hopefully this time next year, you'll be talking to a fully fledged sports journalist.
I have absolutely no doubt. Stephen, like we said, I know it's sort of a theme that's run through this, and I guess, I suppose it's exactly what the Prince's Trust is about. This is exactly what it should do. But again, I suppose, something that we've sort of talked about all the way through this, and that's, taking an opportunity or being given a chance, or just that, almost just that smallest crack in the door can lead to, the most amazing things. And, sort of Alex is testimony to that. If we think back to last June and then think back to where he is now, and then where he's going to be in 18 months' time, it's all from just this chance I suppose, this chance encounter, this chance conversation, wherever you want to sort of pinpoint the starting point. But it's, you know, they can lead to such, you know, wonderful things.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's the way that, you know, you can go through one door and it opens up another five or six behind it. You know, that's how it's gone for me over the years. You know, I've gone through some wild stuff. You know, wrote a couple of articles for These Football Times. You know, ended up on the Guardian, on Guardian Sport. You know, had an article on The Athletic. You know, a book tip. So, you know, shortlisted for a Blogger of the Year. Then it's a, you know, a Football Book of the Year. None of it, you know, particularly by design or expectation or anything like that. It's just one thing trips after another. So something like this. Like I say, you open one door, suddenly five more doors are there for you to blunder through almost. There's a defined domino effect to this type of thing. And there's absolutely, you know, no limits to how far you can take something like that. It's all to do with your own passion. You know, it's all to do with your own talent and your own, you know, your own drive, your own personal ambition, you know, or, you know, all of that. You know, you can go along one way. That's not to say what I've done. I mean, I've just kind of like drifted along and found myself in a very unexpected situation. But far more, you know, talented, far more focused people than me can certainly, you know, pick up something like this and find themselves, you know, in a few years' time, maybe covering the Centenary World Cup, which, you know, hopefully won't be in the UK and Ireland, but will hopefully be in Uruguay instead.
You're just putting your stall out for that. The stall out for that now.
I am. I'm leading towards the romantic. The 2030 World Cup final must be at the Centenario in Montevideo, and I'm expecting Alex to be there.
So you know, I guess you know, Alex. You know, when we sort of, you know, again, if we think way back to June, and you know, sort of one of your. I think Kerry had to complete I think they're called a My Journey form, where you know you have your sort of targets and stuff. And I can remember that one of them was to get a piece onto These Football Times website. How's that going?
Pretty good, actually. Yeah, I've just confirmed with Omar that I will have a piece on Shakhtar Donetsk and their trials and tribulations throughout the Ukrainian civil war on the website anytime soon. Wow. It's a funny one. It's a good one.
Okay. How does it... I'll come to Gary in a second for the content of this, because you would never mistake who your mentor was. How does it, or how did it feel to get a piece accepted?
It was incredibly... Oh, it was very relieving, but also it was really, really nice just to get that recognition was just... incredible. I'm like, oh, it was such a confidence boost. It's like, maybe, you know, maybe I'm pretty good at this, and I can do this seriously now.
To be fair, I can remember, like I say, when I was talking about mine earlier, and like say it was just a second email, just purely because if I didn't, I would have kicked myself, and obviously I'd have really kicked myself. But it is that feeling of, you know, I'm sure Gary and Stephen will relate to this as well, but that feeling when first of all somebody says, yeah, okay, we'll take that, and certainly when it's something like These Football Times. But then the next bit, when you actually see it and your name's at the bottom of it, it goes to a completely different level of disbelief and shock and awe, and that someone's gonna take it down. You're worried that someone's gonna take it down because you've been found out, and you know, and all those things will go through your mind. But Gary, you know, I'm guessing you've read the piece.
Yeah, I mean, well, funny enough, I mean, I haven't read the final piece because we had a chat about it a couple of weeks ago, and we had a couple of discussions about a couple of points. I'm not sure what Alex has done about them, so I haven't seen the final piece. So if he's put some swear words back in there,
yeah,
I'll
follow them.
There's some fantastic passages there, you know, and we were talking about a while ago, we were talking about writing techniques and sort of alliteration and count of three and floating opposites and these sort of things. And yeah, it's amazing that Alex had done these things without actually knowing what they were called. He'd done them anyway. And there's a wonderful passage in there where he sort of compares to illustrate a point about one team's approach to the game, where he sort of uses the metaphor of Batman, Star Wars characters, and Jose Mourinho. It's a wonderful little passage, and I remember that. I thought, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of this kid. I'm so proud of this kid, what he's turning out now. And it's a wonderful piece, and, you know, I haven't read the final piece, but I've read most of it. I'm looking forward to reading the final piece, and I tell you what, I'm going to give it a proper good boost on Twitter as well, because the dedication, application, commitment that Alex poured into his work, you know, since we first spoke, is nothing short of highly laudable, and he deserves every success he gets.
And I guess I was just about to say that. I think what we need to remember is, yes, you know, we work for, you know, work with Omar on These Football Times, the three of us, but this is, you know, this has been Alex's work. These have been Alex's words. These have been, you know, this is not nepotism. It's, you know, you're there as a mentor, Gary, but ultimately, you know, Alex will fail and succeed by his own words. But you know, he's finding his way now in this world, and it's, you know, and he's going to be on These Football Times on merit, and not because of who his mentor is.
Yeah, right. And when I spoke to Omar and said that, reminded him about the Prince's Trust that he'd set up with the courses with Kerry going back to last year, and I said, you know, I mentioned that Alex, and I've been mentoring him, he's going to send a piece to him. I said, but, you know, I'm not asking for any fives, I wouldn't do that. And he said, no, I'll look at on merit. When he came back, and I actually heard from Omar that about piece been accepted before Alex knew, but I didn't want to say anything. I want Alex to get the email from Omar first, and he said, you know, this is really outstanding piece of writing. So happy, so chuffed, so proud.
You know, and I guess, Stephen, you know, like we've said all along here, there's, you know, I'm sure there's, well, you know, there must be so much talent out there, and, you know, and Alex is just one sort of, just one, not isolated case, but he's just one highlighted case of what must be thousands of people all sort of out there, all, you know, with the potential to, you know, not necessarily to write for These Football Times. They can write for whoever they want. And to be fair, it doesn't even have to be football. It can be any sport, any topic, anything that anybody is passionate about. But like I say, we keep coming back to this same point, and it's, you know, it is that, and Gary mentioned as well, you know, if you're in a position whereby you can, you know what it's like to have the door open for you, or you know what it's like to have that person just give you that little bit of help when you needed it, you know, to then be able to do that for somebody else is massive. But it's also how we keep this industry, I guess, how we keep, you know, we talk a lot about keeping stories alive and, you know, and telling the stories, you know, from the history of the game. But we also have a responsibility to nurture the people who are going to be the next storytellers as well.
You do. Yeah, you know, it's being able to help someone at the same time, but it's also, you know, if I mean, I know the writers that I was inspired by, you know, the writers that I enjoyed reading. And I think it's one of those things that you pass on. You know, lucky enough to have some really great feedback on some of the stuff I've written. And there's no matter what I've done, and you know, books and, you know, podcasts and, you know, nominations for awards and stuff like that, none of it, you know, it all pales in comparison to just kind of like someone coming up to you and saying, you know what, I absolutely love that piece you wrote. You know, or, you know, and it is, you know, and yeah, there's a bit of, as Alex said earlier on, a bit of ego in that, I suppose. But at the same time, it's a bit of validation to say, well, look, you know, actually someone's out there and they're enjoying what I do, you know, or what I write, you know, and it is, it's a huge buzz. And within that, you know, you'd like to think that maybe, you know, if there's someone out there who's reading that and enjoying that, then they'll feel like, you know, I can do that, you know, which is kind of what I did when I was reading other people. You know, I'd read something and say, well, look, yeah, I could have a go at that, you know, and that's what I've done. And hopefully, you know, Alex can do that. And then someone's going to pick up something that Alex wrote, look at it and say, you know, I want to do that.
That's a great point. And, you know, and on the back of that then, Alex, I guess, you know, obviously you've got your piece coming out on These Football Times, you've got your course starting, but in terms of the big picture, the big dream, because you might as well dream big, there's no, you know, don't have to do it, you know, what is it, you know, what are the next steps for you, what, you know, where do you, not necessarily where do you see it going, but where do you want this to go?
I would quite like to consistently have pieces on These Football Times and, you know, other more established websites and things like that, you know, have pieces in magazines. I think when I first get a piece in a magazine, that's going to be huge for me. That'll be, I'm, you know, I'm getting a few beers after that one. I think in the long term, I don't really have much interest in working in print media because I'd quite like to work for a place or, you know, what I don't know what's going to be around in 5 years with a bit more creative freedom. And maybe that's me being a bit picky at a time where I don't really know what's going to happen. But I don't really want my life to be match reports and transfer rumours. And yeah, I'd quite like to have books as well. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, because I grew up in quite a working class town around a lot of, you know, really, really amazing working class people. And I'd love to have a book interviewing the people that could have made it as footballers but didn't for whatever reason. So you look like, you know, the guy down the pub who always says, oh, I had trials at Blackburn. All right, okay, but why? Oh, I want to actually know this story. If there is a story here, I'd be really, really interested to know as to why you didn't make it as a professional footballer if you could have done. So things like that, I think.
Gary, sounds like you're going to be busy over the coming months and years, just putting that out there.
I said, that's a brilliant idea for a book, Nicky Thump.
Yeah, I was just thinking
I might just speak to that one right now. I think it's something that you, because of the way you write, the way you tell stories, I think you did that really well. I mean, yeah, I look forward to reading that book.
Give it time.
But still no swearing.
Yeah, I think you could. Right? You know, if you keep progressing the way you have, mate, there's no reason why not. And you're a great advert for following your dream. So get out there and follow it, kid.
Thank you.
I knew we'd go over the hour on this one, and we have done. It's, you know, it's kind of standard practice now. And I'm supposed to be the one who's in charge of the timings and stuff. I'm gonna sort of ask the three of you the same question to finish with, and that's, you know, I don't want to sound corny, but it's more just, you know, that sort of little bit of advice or that little bit of, you know, to, like I say, I'm hoping there'll be young people listening to this, or like I said, they don't have to be young, they don't have to be Alex's age, they can be my age, Stephen's age, Gary's age. You know, you're never too old to do this. You know, it's all about the opportunities. It's not an age-related industry. It's not an age-related issue. It's the opportunity and the chance that's the issue. But in terms of, advice, I'll come to you first, Gary, because I feel like you're the wisest of us all. So I'm gonna come to you first for the closing advice.
I don't think I'd be the wisest. I'm certainly the oldest. If you've got a dream, follow it. You know. I mean, we've all got, you know, we've all got some kind of talent. Everybody's some kind of artist, and you know, if you want to do something, try for it. Because I say I never wrote my first football article until I was in my mid-50s. You know, so you know, I wasted 30 odd years of my sort of potential creative life working. You got a dream, follow it, chase it, believe in it. Because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to believe in you.
There we go. See, I knew you'd get us off to a good start, Gary. Stephen, for you. You know, in terms of, like I say, advice, or you know, just something to think about or to take away from this episode.
Follow your instincts. Don't ignore gravity. You know, if something's pulling you towards, you know, listen to it. You know, it doesn't matter whether that's, you know, football writing, modern tap, you know, banjo playing, whatever it is. You know, if you've got a calling towards it, don't ignore it. You know, that's the worst thing you can do is just kind of like ignore that itch. That's the thing for me. Don't ignore that itch. You know, and you know, trust yourself and seek out the people that have done it before. And, you know, you'd be surprised how many people are more than willing to talk about their experiences and point you in, you know, all sorts of directions that might be helpful. You know, the vast majority of people, you know, there are some exceptions, but the vast majority of people out there, more than willing to kind of like chat and help and offer advice.
Okay, so Alex, obviously now as someone who's living the dream, as Gary said, who's scratching the itch, as Stephen said, you know, for you, like I say, you know, you're a lot further down the line than most people are who are going to be listening to this. You know, I guess it's testimony A to your talent, but also how quickly these things turn around from as sort of all meeting you for the first time and doing the introductions and stuff to now you're on the podcast and you're about to offer advice to other writers out there. So you might not want to swear. B, you might not want to be sarcastic. but other than that, you know, let people know what you think.
I'm going to say, other than email Gary.
I'll put his email out, don't worry.
I think the best advice would be to read. I think before you write, read. It'll help you develop your skills as a writer. It'll help you improve your vocabulary, help you turn a phrase. It doesn't have to be about, I don't know, whoever wants to be a football writer or a music writer or whatever. Just read whenever you can, I suppose. And I'm kind of guilty of not doing that as much as I like to, but I think it's a huge help.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you've done such a great job, Gary. I'm not going to lie. It's just as much testimony to you as well. Guys, it's been brilliant. Like I say, I think of, you know, of all the sort of podcasts we've done and all the episodes that we've done, I think obviously this one is probably the closest to home, other than when we've chatted about our own sort of projects or our own books. But I think, you know, considering, like I said, that certainly the three of us, you know, Stephen and Gary, when we were sort of asked to do it and getting involved and what we tentatively hoped we would get. And then obviously now we've got Alex, guest on the podcast, writer for These Football Times. You know, it's something, you know, for us all to be proud of. And obviously Alex, you know, more than anything else, but also it just kind of goes to show, you know, and you two have both chatted about this, about sort of the kindness and generosity of spirit of people who are prepared to help others. And I think, and again, you know, you've mentioned Jim and, you know, mentioned Omar and These Football Times, but it is such a wonderful platform for giving opportunity to people, you know, and obviously there has to be talent there, you know, to be on the site. But I think it's testimony to what These Football Times is about, in that it does this, in my opinion, Gary, I think it does this really, really well.
Yeah. it's really fascinating. And, you know, just to sort of look back and, you know, you mentioned that Kerry said that one of the things Alex had put on his ambition thing was to get a piece on These Football Times website. And, you know, it's it just shows, you know, the sort of high respect that the These Football Times is sort of is looked at with. And, you know, it's fantastic that Alex has done it as well. Yeah, as I say, I couldn't be prouder of the guy. I really could.
Guys, like I say, you know, it has been a wonderful episode. It's been brilliant to see you again and catch up with you again. Like I say, alas, unfortunately, obviously your life has changed. Mine just feels like it's exactly the same, but we've just had a few weeks off. We've just had a few weeks off since we last met. You know, all I can offer you is just the utmost sort of congratulations and respect for not only for what you've produced, but I guess for how you've taken hold of the opportunity and got absolutely everything you possibly could from it and more, and made it work for you. And that's just as much of a talent. It's just as much of a testimony to your character as anything else, you know, let alone the talent for writing. But that just having the desire and the will to make the very most of the opportunity is, you know, something else that you deserve respect for as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd also obviously love to give a huge, huge, huge props to Kerry and Rosalie, who also works at the Prince's Trust. They've both been nothing short of angels throughout everything. So, thank you very
much for them. Yeah, where do I get to next before I reserve judgment on that? I mean, to be fair, no, I have to agree. She doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't have to agree at all, but I will agree. You know, like I say, to be fair, it was, ultimately, this was Kerry's idea. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't our idea. It was something she'd thought about. And, you know, like I say, she'd said, "What do you think?" And it's like, "Well, yeah, it sounds brilliant. Who are you going to get to do that?" And like I say, the rest is history. Gary and Stephen, thank you ever so much for joining us. Gary, obviously, especially you know, with a personal interest in this. Well done, my friend.
Thank you, mate. I didn't do anything. It's all down to that guy. I didn't do
it. Stephen. Obviously, we've got off a little bit lightly. We've not had to deal with a sarcastic, sweary young person. We've just got off quite lightly.
We have, really. But, you know, I think within that, you know, Gary's wisdom, which is greater than ours. You're right, Stu.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it was the right way to go. It was completely the right way to go. We just got to say, well done, Alex, in everything you've done and continue to do, and the best of luck going forward.
Obviously, as you know, when the piece is out, Alex, I'm sure, like, you know, as Gary's mentioned there, it'll be promoted, same as all the other pieces. You know, you'll be, I'm not saying you'll be one of us, sounds quite grand, but essentially, you know, you'll have made that transition. You'll be on equal footing with us. Hopefully we can get you back on the podcast. Certainly if the book...
Well, that's it. What you need to do, Alex, is as soon as it's up there, you change your Twitter bio.
I was going to say.
And then you throw... and that's exactly what you do. So every time you hit these landmarks, whatever it is you do, you always update that bio, and it looks more and more and more impressive.
I feel like I'm definitely going to have to be more careful about what I say on Twitter now.
Yes, there's a lot. Like in Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. Alex, that's it. Now you're on These Football Times. That's it. There comes great responsibility. Like I say, yep. Brilliant guys, absolutely brilliant. Obviously, all that's left for me to say, well, a couple of things, I guess. If you're interested in, you know, in the football writing, I think this episode is, you know, is testimony that it can be done. You know, all four of, I include all four of us in that. You know, don't be afraid to give it a go. Reach out to people who can help you, and you know, and just give yourself a chance. And obviously, please join us again next time on the Lob Podcast with These Football Times. Thank you and goodbye.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.